Welcome back, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You ever wonder what I talk with our very smart guests about during the breaks? Well, that's the show behind the show, the secret show, if you will. You want to hear all of the discussion and miss none of it, you can always watch this program on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, X, and Facebook. You can also find me on Blue Sky. I sometimes post some missives, some off-the-cuff thoughts on the day's news. So please do follow and like on those platforms. Great question that we got from our good friend Jack from Merrimack before the break, and that was about tax policy generally, which we talk about on this program a lot, and the fact that if we look at the U.S. tax policy and, frankly, our tax brackets, how we tax capital gains, how we tax estates worth more than $25 million. And we look at how that has changed over the last 50 years. So I'm going to say from Richard Nixon onwards into our modern tax environment, what you've seen is not a tax code and tax system that is placing or working to place more burden on those with ultra mega wealth. In fact, we've seen our tax policy become more regressive. In other words, shifting government funding obligations more and more to the middle class. And that includes people who save and work and contribute to their 401ks and might have a couple of million in that retirement account. They've shifted a lot of the funding burden for government onto middle class people and upper middle class people. In other words, we've seen, again, a more regressive approach to taxation over the last 50 years. I would say not coincidentally, Howard, over that same period of time, the net worth of the individuals that establish our tax code, meaning the representatives in Congress, in the House, and the Senate, their average net worth over that 50-year period of time, adjusted for inflation, has gone up markedly over that period. In fact, we're going to include a link to a couple of sources of data on that in our show notes today. You can find that, folks, again, at civicmedia.us, anywhere you find the podcast of The Maggie Dawn Show. But, for example, in 2011, the average net worth of a sitting U.S. senator, and it's worse now, by the way, the average net worth was $14 million. No kidding that the tax code will benefit people that have a lot of money. Howard, at a very high level, is this a version of corruption of some sort?
It is, but look, that's disturbing, but it's different from what we were talking about before.
Yes.
Before we were talking about essentially insider trading, which is, among other things, a crime. This is, you know, sort of, there's a distinction that is drawn between legal corruption and illegal corruption. Let me use our own state of Wisconsin as an example. There was a time when Wisconsin's state Supreme Court and our court system in general was regarded as a model of clean, good government, ethical, high standards. And then things changed in the late 2000s. And that's a whole long conversation. And not long after that, not long after the election of a couple of justices in particular, one of whom is named Gableman, for example, who just surrendered his law license for 3 years, the Sofra Center for Ethics at Harvard did a study and determined that Wisconsin has one of the highest levels of legal corruption of any court system in the country. Now, legal corruption is not people in parking garages exchanging suitcases full of money. Legal corruption is the term that is used to describe a situation where interest groups, the most wealthy, the most powerful, have excessive and untoward influence on policymaking and outcomes to the degree that it's corrupt in the sense that it's no longer the case that the government is representing and serving people, the people. It is rather a tool for maximizing the interests of certain specific groups or interests. In that broader sense of the term, yeah, this is absolutely corruption.
Yes. How do we, looking at court systems and the legal system in particular, and frankly, the fact that Americans' confidence in our legal system and the courts has simply bottomed. I mean, it is, the bottom has fallen out. The judicial branch, according to current polling, is at its lowest approval ratings since we started polling for these things many decades ago. What do we do, especially in the court system, to try to fix that corruption? Because it's not that hard when you're dealing with the court system, or at least it shouldn't be.
Oh, it's actually harder in many ways.
Good. Well, tell me.
In order to try and prevent corruption in the court system, in the federal courts, we, at the very founding of the country, adopted lifetime appointments. Think of the fact that Donald Trump appointed 3 Supreme Court justices. It feels like every exchange we have, I end up saying, we could do a whole show on this. We could do a whole show on the Supreme Court. But yes. I think the loss of confidence in the court is warranted, and I think it's because of exactly this version of corruption that I'm talking about. No one thinks that John Roberts is taking bribes in a back room in an envelope with dollar bills stuffed in it. But I think lots of observers, maybe even most observers, think that John Roberts has sold out his obligations, his duties, and the integrity of his institution to support the people he favors.
At base, the appearance of impropriety and its ability to erode public trust in institutions, I think, in turn, greases the skids or makes an environment where additional indirect corruption or influence peddling can happen even more, Howard. In other words, people look at the system and they say, oh, it's rotten, and so it's not so bad if I participate in some of this rottenness because this is the state of play. Is there kind of a spiraling or cascading impact of this sort of corruption? We're going to discuss that more with my special guest, Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Howard Schwaber. Will continue to take your calls and texts. Thanks to John from Oshkosh texting in on the WISS text line. You can get in those questions now, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about how corruption impacts your day-to-day life. We're going to eventually talk about what we can all do about it. On the other side, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.